From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents, context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
Midtown, San Jose.
19th Avenue, San Francisco.
San Mateo.
Sunnyvale.
Excelsior District of San Francisco.
Financial District.
Coming up, a father meets his estranged son for the first time in prison.
It was kind of strange because we was on the same facility, passing each other, and had no knowledge of him being there or me.
Then, a local nonprofit showcases the many talents of foster youth.
I was a young man living up out of an abandoned home, selling dope so I could eat and have some fresh clothes. In the game, man, I'm stuck as if the game froze. McDre said it the best, this is how the game goes.
And we'll hear about a new documentary that looks at Jewish history in the city by the bay.
It spoke to anybody who's come to this country as an immigrant and had to figure out who they were going to be here.
Stay tuned. Cross Currents is next. Today we're bringing you another story from the San Quentin Prison Report, KALW's collaboration with inmates from California's oldest prison.
SQPR is a media collective of prisoners and volunteers from the community working together to give voice to personal growth, social transformation, and restorative justice.
The effects of incarceration extend far past the person serving time. The most recent data shows over half of the nation's inmates are parents to children under age 18. It's more than 1.5 million kids across the country who have at least one parent in prison. Maintaining a relationship with your kids while in prison is difficult. Phone calls are almost prohibitively expensive. A 30-minute call can cost $30, and family visits can be tough for inmates imprisoned far from home. As Troy Williams reports in this story, some kids will go to extremes to have a relationship with their parent in prison. And a heads up as you're listening, the Media Lab at San Quentin is in the old laundry facilities, and every so often, the pipes make noises that you'll hear. Here's Troy.
Ron Everett has been incarcerated almost 31 years. Everett was arrested soon after the birth of his son, and their relationship became estranged over time.
When I first got incarcerated, he was 2 months old. I talked to him frequently between the ages of 3 and 5, and his mother passed away of a rare blood disease when he was 5 years old.
After she died, Everett lost contact with his son. It wasn't until 20 years later they ended up serving time at the same prison.
It was kind of strange because we was on the same facility, passing each other, and had no knowledge of him being there or me.
Everett didn't even know what his son looked like, not having seen him since his child was 2. But his son heard rumors that his dad was in solitary confinement.
He heard that I was in the hole, a rumor, and got into a altercation to get to the hole to be my cellie, to see me.
But it wasn't just an altercation. Everett's son initiated a race riot in order to get put in the hole and meet his father for the first time. They spent his 21st birthday as cellmates.
Yeah, he went to them extremes just to see, actually meet me. So we became cellmates from 2003 to 2008.
And that's how father and son began to develop a relationship.
It was beautiful for me in a way, and it was kind of strange because there was a lot of questions that he had, because he was only getting rumors on one side, and that was his family, not mine. He had questions about his mother that he didn't get to talk to because he passed away when he was 5. So I kind of, kept it 100 with him about how important family is and what you're doing is what I did. And through whatever we got us there, we need to break the chain.
They stayed up at night talking and eventually built a bond. But Everett says there was a communication gap for a while, given that his son was so attached to his gang affiliation.
It was all about the hood and the homies. Nothing else mattered.
Everett also expressed what he found to be most challenging about being a father in prison.
What I find really challenging is being respected, because I'm here, I've been here, and I'm trying to tell him something. And when it comes to serious things or pointing something out, it's, how are you telling me? You're in prison. So basically, I kept it on why I got here and the same thing I done, you're doing now, right? So, and he understood. So he told me one night, which was kind of ironic, was I feel complete now because I had the opportunity to meet you. And that really touched me emotionally.
It touched him deeply, but it also brought up regrets for not having been there when his son was a child.
When he turned 18, he was riding by 91 Freeway. And by him being affiliated with the Crips, the car was shot upon. And an AK-47 went through the trunk, through the back seat, and hit him on the passenger side, through the seat, and knocked out his right lung.
But Everett didn't know anything about the hardships of his son's life until one strange encounter as his cellmate.
While I was laying down one night after coming from the showers, I noticed his scars. And that was a part of him growing up by himself without his mom, with me being in prison and just being with his grand folks on the street. So he's pretty much raised himself in the streets.
Everett learned the importance of fatherhood.
What I learned is that we're essential in the household. And without the man being in the family, all that comes into play. The streets, the homies, the violence. The guy just needs to be there, either in or out. And fathers that are confined should do whatever they have to be in their kid's life and talk to them on a regular basis, if possible.
Everett's son was eventually transferred to another prison, so they aren't physically close. But Everett says the 5 years he spent getting to know his son transformed his life.
It changed me to the point that I started loving myself. For a long time, I didn't love myself. It's a growing process because it's new to me. It's not that I came up doing that. I'm almost 60 years old, and I spend most of my life confined. And for the guys that have kids, that's on the street and they're incarcerated, do what you can to get them, keep them ties and that communication going. Yeah, it's a blessing. Junior, I love you. Be safe. I'll be in contact. And I'll see y'all soon. Love you. Be safe.
Everett is hoping to be released soon, and his first priority will be to get to know his grandkids and make sure to end the cycle of incarceration for his family. This story was based on an interview conducted by Antoine Williams. Troy Williams, reporting for SQPR.
Do you have a loved one in prison? How has it affected your life? You can call and leave us a message at 415-264-7106. That's 415-264-7106. The San Quentin Prison Report is a partnership with KALW to bring stories from inside California's oldest prison to the public radio airwaves.
The San Quentin Prison Report is produced by Founding Director Troy Williams and Managing Director Nigel Poor. SQPR is made possible by the support of Warden Kevin Chappelle, Public Information Officer Lieutenant Sam Robinson, and Television Specialist Larry Schneider.
This is Cross Currents. I'm Ben Trefney. Many children who have incarcerated parents end up in the foster care system. California has the highest number of foster care youth in the country, and even though the system has improved over the years, it still carries challenges, especially for youth who age out at 18. They're at higher risk for becoming homeless and imprisoned. So a local nonprofit decided to organize a contest that would help foster youth gain some much-needed confidence. No. Not that contest. But close. It's called Beyond Idol. And even though it's based on the TV show American Idol, when these contestants get on stage, it's not necessarily to find stardom. They're there to find faith in themselves. KALW's Kyung Jin Lee has the story.
Why do you think you could be the next Beyond Idol?
Because, I mean, you know what I'm saying?
It's audition day for Beyond Idol. Contestants pace around a large waiting area, practicing softly to themselves as they wait for their turn. Categories include original poetry, singing, and rapping. There are definitely jitters in the room as each contestant goes before a panel of five judges.
I'm not here to make friends. I don't care if you respect me because I don't care.
Ain't nobody tell me different when I ride. I ride. Like, and ain't nobody.
I'm a victim living life with no resistance. I'm on a mission. I'm about my business. America dream is a meal, man. What's the deal, man? I'm not quitting.
Contestant Rakera Williams prepared an original poem. She walks down to the makeshift stage and looks confident as she begins.
As I look in the mirror, what do I see? A beautiful black young woman. That's the image of me. As I look through window pane glass, what do I see? A woman with class. That's a good image of me.
Her poem is short, but she doesn't falter in her performance. Williams won't know whether she advances to the finals for another week or so while scores are tallied. She's one of about a dozen contestants to audition today. All are hoping to become the grand finale champion who gets to perform at Yoshi's in Oakland and win $200 in cash. But all contestants get a chance to do something bigger, to overcome the challenges of growing up in the foster care system. Again, Rakera Williams.
I'm so used to people rejecting me. I'm used to people saying no, rejecting me, don't wanting me. So I tend to push people away and run.
Williams is 20 years old and has lived in group or foster homes for almost half of her life.
Give or take 12 or 13. I can't really count, probably more than that.
Before foster care, she lived with her grandma. But when Williams was 11 years old, her grandmother passed away.
After my granny passed, my mom took all the other kids.
Williams is talking about her six siblings on her mom's side.
I never understood why she took all the other kids, but from what I heard from my family, I was autistic or something, and she didn't want to deal with that. So I was passed down to my auntie.
Then she started acting violently and running away. But for the past couple of years, she's been working with counselors and mentors to learn how to deal with her emotions. Now she takes a step back and breathes when she feels anger. She's determined to bring some positive changes to her life.
So I'm starting to make that change, whether it's doing poetry, going to school, try to get a job. I'm trying to make something better for me and to help those around me as well.
This is exactly what Beyond Idol is all about.
We want kids to feel confident about who they are, what they're bringing to the table, whether it's artistic, whether it's educational, whether it's culinary, whatever, and be able to step out into the world with full confidence and full knowledge of themselves.
Ryan Peters is the contest coordinator for Beyond Emancipation, which helps young people navigate the foster care system. The idea for the contest came to director Rick McCracken while watching American Idol with his kids.
It occurred to me that Beyond Emancipation really could put together an event around that concept. So this really truly is our attempt to provide a platform for these youth to really share their artistic skills that really talks about their experience in life.
It's an experience that's filled with challenges.
If you look at sort of the homeless population in Bay Area cities, roughly 50% of those people are you know, former foster youth.
There are more than 50,000 foster youth in California, and a recent study shows only 45% of them graduate from high school. But McCracken says these kids are resilient, and against these odds, they still reach for their dreams, like 18-year-old Raynell Johnson.
My name is Raynell Terrell Johnson. I'm from Oakland.
Johnson tells the judges that he makes and sells his own beats, but he's never performed publicly.
Tall bleachers and dim lights. Wesley Snipes and he'll sell it all for them Nike sneaks. Wiser streaks, reading the leaks, crooked pipes, the heist. Reminiscing with eight balls was eight balls.
Johnson wows the judges and easily makes it to the next round. He says he's been making music since he was 13, the same age he entered the foster care system. So today is significant for him, but for more than one reason.
It feels good. Like, it's my sister's birthday today. Like, I was already down today, so it's like, it was a stress reliever.
Johnson's sister was killed in a hit and run 4 years ago. She would have turned 15 today. His dad's in prison, and he's estranged from his mom, so he lives with his grandma near Lake Merritt.
I feel like if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't be musically inclined. Like, I wouldn't know about the soul of music and where it comes from, because, you know, that's all she listens to is oldies.
Johnson's grandma keeps a tight ship. His bedroom is small, and it doubles as his music studio.
Is it okay if I come in?
Yeah. This is what I do.
Ah. So you sleep here and everything?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's got two keyboards in the middle of the room, with two more tucked away in the corners. Posters cover the walls, including a handmade sign. Johnson made it himself and held it where his sister died. It says, 11-year-old killed by a hit and run. When I ask about it, he doesn't lament on his loss or his situation.
I'm not really too much of a talker.
Instead, he uses music to express himself.
Usually I just come here and play with the keys. I really don't know how to play the piano.
Really?
So yeah, I just be knowing how to, I don't know, I just... find inspiration.
Like I always seeked for better, so I always wanted to look up to something. So music was something that was like a father figure, and for me looking at it like that, it made me perfect it and perfect my craft. So that's how I looked at it, like a father or somebody that could take care of me.
And he's gotten more confident thanks to the mentorship and coaching that's part of Beyond Idol. Event producer Ryan Peter says she's seen similar changes in other contestants, including Rakera Williams.
She's got a bubbly personality, but when it was time for her to hit the stage or grab a microphone, she completely went inside herself. Now, she approaches the stage with a whole lot more confidence. She also approaches adults, and I think that's the most important thing, adults and her peers with a whole lot more confidence. She can look people in the eye. She can feel confident about what she has to say.
One, two, three, four, Dee Sparilla, Nicole. Two, that's surprising.
Peters tallies up the scores to see who will move on to the final round. 8 out of a dozen contestants are chosen.
First of all, welcome. Welcome to Beyond Idol 2013.
At the rehearsal for the final performance, Ryan Peters gives them some big news. There will not be one champion this year. All the finalists are Beyond Idol winners.
So without further ado, I want you to stand to your feet.
Only a couple of weeks later, they hit the stage at Yoshi's in Oakland.
2013 Beyond Idol champions. Give it up.
The youth look nervous, excited, and filled with adrenaline. There's a couple of false starts, but encouragement from the audience propels them to shine.
All right, how y'all doing? You know what I'm saying? It's my first show, y'all. I'm nervous. Nah.
My hitters on the block and we tryna see millions. Hey, there another killing. I'ma do this for the streets. All my people.
As I look out across the ocean's waters, I see many reflections. As a loved one, a friend, a sister, a daughter. Now, as I look in these mirrors every single day, I know God did not make one single error. Thank you.
As the evening comes to a close, all the winners take a final bow. You can see it in their eyes. They look ready to take on the world. In Oakland, I'm Kyungjin Lee for Cross Currents.
If you'd like to see some pictures from Beyond Idol, just go to our website, kalw.org, and click Cross Currents. You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Ben Trefney. We'll turn now from idols to icons. Sutro Baths, Wells Fargo, Stern Grove. What these San Francisco staples have in common is they were all founded or developed by Jews. Jewish people have been living in San Francisco since the city was founded, and it's the topic of a new documentary called American Jerusalem. As the film explains, few people know this part of San Francisco history because, like many others, Jews came here to reinvent themselves. So many left their Jewish identities behind. KALW's Alyssa Kapnick has more.
Adolf Sutro was 20 years old and living in Prussia when he and his family decided it was time to come to America. He landed first in New York in 1850. Only 1 week later, he left his family to make the difficult journey to San Francisco through the jungles of Panama.
There are a great many alligators in the river, which are monsters very much dreaded. The mosquitoes were so thick that they filled the whole air.
This is from the film. An actor reads Sutro's words.
the heat was unbearable.
Jews were drawn here by the same thing that drew everyone else, gold. But when they arrived, they found something more, an opportunity to reinvent themselves. Here's the film's director, Mark Schaefer.
What drew me to this story was the idea that it was an epic American tale that it transcended the Jewish experience. It spoke to anybody who's come to this country as an immigrant and had to figure out who they were going to be here.
Many of the first Jews to arrive in San Francisco were from Poland or Bavaria. They were fleeing hate laws and humiliating restrictions. For example, in 1800s Bavaria, Jews weren't allowed to farm or join guilds. They were kept from holding public office, attending schools and universities. They were kept separate, made to live in ghettos. Here's historian Mark Dollinger from the film.
Throughout most of Jewish history, if you ask Jews who they were, the response would be Jewish, because Jewish trumps Russian or Polish or French or German. In San Francisco, Jews quickly become San Franciscans. They become its chief cheerleaders and advocates, and they are very, very proud of their city.
There was no established aristocracy in San Francisco. The main status symbol was race. Again, the film's director, Mark Schaefer.
Jews were accepted as whites and able to compete alongside other whites for success. That was a brand new experience for them.
Jews took their newfound social acceptance and ran with it. They started banks and dry goods stores. They ran for public office. But this ability to assimilate came with a fear. Jews never wanted to become the other again. So when San Francisco suffered a long economic depression in the 1870s, Jews faced a tough choice. Working-class whites were taking out their frustrations on the city's already underpaid Chinese workers. Historian Mark Dollinger.
The question would be, how would Jewish San Franciscans, who one would think would understand and empathize with another marginal group, how would they respond to the Chinese? And the truth is, they responded more as white Americans than as Jews.
In 1877, this anti-Chinese sentiment culminated in riots. The Jews didn't join in, but they sided with their race.
And Jews were white, and so they became beneficiaries of prejudice rather than victims of it for the first time.
Schaefer says this begs another question. What made those Jews Jewish?
If I start, which I never did, but as the Jews in San Francisco did, many of them, if I start celebrating Christian holidays and eating pork and shellfish and all the rest, what is it that makes me Jewish now? I happen to think all those people are Jewish, but I don't know why they are. I struggle with that question some, but it's a good struggle.
There's never been a Jewish ghetto or even really a Jewish neighborhood in San Francisco, and there still isn't one today, even though there are over 200,000 Jews living in the city. That's about a quarter of the total population. But you can find markers of Jewish integration and success all over the city.
If you go to Golden Gate Park, there's the Julius Kahn playground. And you can go there and watch kids playing in that playground who never knew who Julius Kahn was, the most powerful Jewish politician in the country, and he was San Francisco's congressman.
There's Levi's Plaza, the San Francisco Zoo. These places can be traced to some of those early Jewish immigrants. Then there are the more recent places built to honor Jewish culture in the city. The Jewish Community Center, the Contemporary Jewish Museum, and more than a dozen synagogues around town. Coming to San Francisco shaped those early Jews. They found new possibilities of identity, choice, and freedom. And they used that freedom to help shape the great city we have today.
There's a kind of Jewish legacy. When you go visit places, you can see this history or hear this history.
You just need to know where to look for it. In San Francisco, I'm Alyssa Kapnick for Cross Currents.
American Jerusalem will be screening at the Throckmorton Theater in Mill Valley this Wednesday. Find the info by clicking the Cross Currents tab at kalw.org. That's it for today's show. Our team includes Julie Kane, Leela Day, Audrey Dilling, Seth Samuel, Ashley Ann Krigbaum, Nina Gensler-Debs, Liz Mack, Daphne Matsuyaraki, Mary Reese, Judy Silber, and Rachel Wong. Today's show is produced by Jen Chien and engineered by Chris Hoff. Casey Miner is our senior editor. Our senior producer is Martina Castro. Holly Kernan is our news director. And thanks to you, KALW is listener-supported radio. The soaring sounds you're hearing now are by the San Francisco Girls Chorus. They have an evening of Christmas carols planned, and the audience is invited to join in on several of them. Their holiday concert will take place on Friday in the First Congregational Church on Channing Way in Berkeley. The performance begins at 8 p.m. For more information or to hear more local music, visit our website. It's kalw.org. That's where you can subscribe to our podcast and tune into your call on KALW tomorrow morning at 10, when we'll be exploring more about local musicians by seeing how independents are making a living in the digital age. For Cross Currents, I'm Ben Trefney.